Good morning, good evening, and good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're all sitting, standing, driving, or whatever you're doing it comfortably. For more Zweite Bundesliga chat, it was another goal-filled week where water bottles were auctioned, Bochum actually won a game, and the sides at the bottom got tough. All that and more to come, but firstly, a huge thank you to everyone who has listened and commented on the first episode. It really does mean a lot to have your support, and going forward, I think we can really grow this into something special. I'm really, really glad that you all enjoyed it. You all tuned in. You keep asking questions. It's great, and I think it shows that the appetite is there for something more permanent in terms of Zweite Bundesliga coverage in English. So, without further ado, let's get started. So, we'll start with the Friday games this week, and once again, we had another 4-3. Yes, unbelievably, Kaiserslautern managed to get the best of Union Berlin in what was an incredible, snow-filled, action-packed game at the Betze. Brandon Borello, what a return, a goal and two assists, and that guy really can do no wrong at the moment. He is in form, in the form of his life, and yeah, if he doesn't get a call up to the Australian team for the World Cup, there's something serious wrong. In that regard, but yeah, it was another really good performance from Kaiserslautern. Made some mistakes, but a combination of poor finishing from Union meant that they got away with it. They took their chances and made them count, and when you're in the relegation battle, that's what matters at the end of the day. Union just seemed a little off pace, not in terms of attack. You know, three goals is never a bad return, but they're really relying on Steven Skripsky at the moment, and with Sebastian Polter now out injured and Mikael Parenson out for a while as well, it's going to be a tough run-in for them. I don't think they're going to get dragged into a relegation battle by any means, but it's, you know, that promotion chance that had they won, they would have only been 3 points behind Kiel. That seems to have slipped away a little bit now, and I think it's going to be very tough for them to try and hit the heights that they did last season. Defensively, it's really, really poor at the moment. And, you know, the news that Toni Leisner won't extend his contract unless they somehow get promoted. It's an uphill battle. Injuries at the wrong time, but Andre Hofschneider's up against it. He's got to pull something out of the hat before the end of the season. Otherwise, you know, the sacking of Jens Keller looks more and more strange by the day. Yes, of course, there was the Steven Skripsky stuff, but it's not a good place for Union to be in at the moment, and they're sort of just finding themselves stuck between relegation and promotion, and if they don't stick a run together towards the end of the season, it might just be one of those ones where they just stutter and sputter over the line into a mid-table finish. Kaiserslautern, on the other hand, 4 wins in 6. Mikael Fonsek has done an incredible job there, and Philipp Mveni, what a return for him as well. Those two on the wings are absolutely superb, and I think Kaiserslautern would be lost without them at the moment. I think the signings that they have brought in have been very, very good, offered experience and a calming head when it matters. But those two on the wings supplying Anderson, Losava and Spalvis, it's turned their season around. And from 1-4-3 to a 2-0 win for Darmstadt away in Dresden. Really good result for them. Back to the, we spoke about it last week, and that fighting spirit seems to have returned from Dirk Schuster's previous time in charge. And my goodness, it was hot and heavy in the opening stages. I think Darmstadt were quite lucky that Steinhofer's challenge on Berko wasn't penalised and a penalty given. But they rode that. Daniel Hoyo Fernandez made a really good save from Kone, I think it was. And from there, they pushed on, and they got the 3 points. It was another case of taking your chances, get you the goals, and wins you games. And that's exactly what happened once again. Darmstadt, really, really solid at the back again. You know, after Höhn was sent off against Heidenheim, they had to show their worth with 10 men. They did that. They came here with a game plan. They executed it really well. Darmstadt are really, really strong out wide at the moment, you know, between Jovan Jones, Fabian Holland, and Tobias Kempe. It's really hard to spot a weakness there when it comes to especially going forward and causing problems from crosses. I think Jones and Kempe are probably going to be the two that are the ones that have the biggest say in keeping Darmstadt in the league at the moment. They've been excellent, at least since the turn of the year, and I think if those two can keep up their form, it's only going to be a good thing for them going forward. And from that entertainment on Friday, we move on to the Saturday games, where we had the small matter of the Franken Derby. Yes, it was Greuther Fürth who came out on top with a 2-0 win against Nuremberg, who, to be honest, never really got going in the game. I thought they were quite poor, very lackluster, failed to create much if any chances. I can only really remember such a boot shot making one or two saves, and that being the height of it. But Fürth, to their credit, they kept things tight in the first half. They didn't let Nuremberg create much, as I've said, and they were very, very solid defensively. And then from there, got what I would say is a slightly lucky goal from Nahai at the beginning of the second half. It was he hit it well, but it was going quite slowly, and I do think that Fabian Boidlow maybe should have got over a little bit quicker. But great strike nonetheless, really good finish. I think, when you look at the goal, the defence was perhaps more to blame than Boidlow when it came to actually, trying to clear the ball. But yeah, Fürth were excellent, and then Daniel Steiniger, great run at the end, showed great strength, great pace to get away, and then a really, really good finish past Boidlow. Fürth look really, really good, really in form as well, and I think things are building well for them to try and beat the drop. The only thing is, if they had a recognised goal scorer, or they had Dorsun, the old Dorsun back from last season, I think they would be well clear of trouble. And to be honest, I think they could be pushing for the promotion places, because since Damir Boric has came in, he's organised them excellently. Can't really say anything more. And speak more highly of what he's done, especially in terms of that defence. It's just the goal scoring where the problems have been for Fürth, and at the moment it seems like that's also the case for Nuremberg. A second game without a goal, didn't create nearly as many chances as they did in Bochum, and yeah, it's going to be tough for them to cope without Ishak. Zrelak didn't really do much for me during the game, and it's an awful lot of pressure on Palacios Martinez to try and get something going in attack. And I just thought I'd mention Khalid Narai was absolutely excellent. Some of those runs, I've always really, really liked him, and I think he can make the step up into Bundesliga. He reminds me a little bit of Mvhené Kaiserslautern. He was excellent, and he was probably my man of the match, to be honest. And from Nuremberg, we head north to Kiel, who finally, after 11 games without a win since November, finally get back on track against Duisburg in, 5-0. Did not see that one coming. Kinsombi, Drexler, Schindler, Schikos, and Gerd Nauber own goal. Yeah, it was surprising to say the least, but I think whenever Kiel went 2 goals up this time, especially in such quick succession, this seemed to be and was the time that they managed to finally get over the line and get that win. I think they have been unlucky in past weeks and previous weeks, but this time it just clicked, and I think I really did expect a lot more from Duisburg without Harai at right back. They did not look solid at all. Poggenborg, who did a good job at left back in place of Kevin Volzer last weekend, it must be said, it just did not work. I thought Nico Klotz might have got the nod ahead of him there, but wasn't to be. And yeah, they Kiel just ran over them in midfield. I really didn't expect that from Frode and Schnellhardt, but they were dominant and looked really, really good. And I think this could be the result that turns Kiel's season back around again. I think if they'd have snuck maybe a 1-0 or a 2-1, something undeserved, then we maybe could have said, well, we need to see a couple more results. But 5-0, they really did put Duisburg to the sword, and credit to them. It's great for Marcus Anfang to get back on track. The final Saturday game then involved Sandhausen and Aue. Wasn't a terribly interesting game for large parts. It was two sides who aren't best known for their exciting attacking, but once the first goal went in with Pascal Koepke, managed to take advantage of Tim Knipping's defensive error, really rare error on his part as well. A good finish, and then Dennis Linsmeyer levelled the scores. Really, the second half was actually pretty interesting. The first half, not so much. Good saves on both keepers' parts, and Sandhausen hit the woodwork a couple of times. It was a decent game. There's not really that much to take from it, not much that we didn't really know before. Sandhausen, I think it was good for them to not lose a second game in a row after defeat to Union, and you know, it was a missed chance for them on their part to try and keep up with Kiel in the race for third. I think they're going to fall short of that this season, and I think the main reason because of that is the injury issues that they have at the moment. But Awa, good defensively, really solid, good for Koepka to get another goal. It's going to be vital for them if he can stay fit and keep scoring goals, especially after that big barren run he had after a really, really good start. And probably plenty of positives for them. Hannes Druz seems to have turned things around there after, you know, a similar piece of bad form that Pascal Koepka went through. It's almost as if the two go hand in hand. And yeah, I think they've got a really good chance now of staying up. I think all the sides at the bottom have a really good chance of staying up. And I think, you know, come May, we might see a few sides that we thought were well clear of trouble get dragged back down into it. And that's what makes this league great. And from the Saturday entertainment, we head to Sundays, and a really hard fought but a well-deserved win for Fortuna Düsseldorf against St. Pauli. Andre Hoffmann got the scoring started with a goal with his hip, which was a rather interesting one while he tried to head the ball. And then Takashi Osami made it 2 in the second half before Aziz Bouadouz got his second goal of the season just before the end. But it only proved to be a consolation for St. Pauli, unfortunately. Fortuna get back to winning ways, which is very, very important for them. I said last week I thought they were only going through a little bit of a blip. That proved to be the case, and I thought Osami was absolutely excellent. You know, for Funkel to drop Benito Raman and bring Genki Hawaguchi straight back into the side and go with Osami, it was a big call, especially given Raman's form, but fully justified it. I thought Hawaguchi was decent as well, and Osami was superb. He could have had a couple more goals had it not been for Robin Himmelmann, who was, you know, equally as good in the St. Pauli goal. Unfortunate, nothing really he could do with both goals. And at the end of the day, it's a shame for St. Pauli that they couldn't take their chances when they came. I thought Dudziak had a very good game in midfield for St. Pauli, and I thought, you know, all round they weren't too bad. I think Jan-Marc Schneider had chances, didn't take them. Boudreaux had chances, didn't take them. It was one of those games where between both boxes, St. Pauli were very, very good, but it just didn't work out when it came to the finishing, and Fortuna made them pay. I think the main problem for St. Pauli, should I say, was the Avivois and Boudreaux's misses just before halftime. I think if those go in, you're looking at a 2-1 lead for St. Pauli in a completely different game. But, you know, it was just a case of the timing being off and just failing to make contact, good contact with the ball. And that was the difference between the two sides. Fortuna back to the top of the table where they'll feel they should be. And it looks good for them in terms of promotion now. They seem to be pushing on, and I think we are going to see Nuremberg and Fortuna go up come the end of the season. The other Sunday games, they involve Heidenheim and Bielefeld, and Braunschweig and Jan Regensburg, which is where we will start. Braunschweig continue to win, lose, win, lose, win, lose. Trying to get any sort of consistency from that team seems nigh on impossible at the moment. They looked really good going forward, and it was almost like what I think a lot of us expected coming into this season, and a little bit like last season. They were really, really dangerous. Lots of good chances. Andre Weiss, who came in for Philipp Pintke, deserves a shout for a couple of really good stops, which kept the score down for Jan and kept them in the game. But it was really good to see Tata Neumann get Tata Neumann get back on the score sheet. For Braunschweig, it's been a long time. He's had a couple of injuries. He's worked back from them, and his first goal since September. Bornschlager hope that's the start of things to come. And Jan Hochscheid as well, he got what turned to be the winning goal. I thought Sulaim and Abdullahi was absolutely excellent, caused lots and lots of problems, was unlucky not to get a goal himself. I was quite disappointed with how Jan played on the day. I think, you know, after that incredible game against Fortuna, I expected them to come out and attack a little bit more, but they just started really, really slowly, and they never really got going in the game until, you know, the latter stages where Braunschweig already had the game won, Knoll's penalty, and, you know, give a little bit of glamour to the scoreline from their point of view. But definitely a very, very well-deserved win from a Braunschweig perspective. And now we've seen these rumours about Thorsten Lieberknecht and Union Berlin coming out from Bild. I think that's an interesting one, but I don't think it's going to happen. I know they talked about how, you know, well and how highly Lieberknecht spoke of Union when it came to, you know, playing against them and how much he enjoyed it. But I think so long as he keeps doing well at Braunschweig, we're going to see him there for the foreseeable future. And to Heidenheim we go for the final Sunday game, where there was some late drama in what was a very, very good game. Heidenheim started off well, had quite a few chances to try and grab an early goal. That didn't happen. Then Mark Schnatter, as he does, scores a 40-yard free kick. Stefan Ortega should have done better. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But Mark Schnatter is something else. I know Lumpy was saying that this isn't Lumpy as in Andreas Lamberts, but Lumpy from Twitter was saying that, you know, where's his Oscar? And I completely agree. I think in terms of lower league service in German football, you can't look too far past him. Heidenheim, those key misses did come back to haunt him. Maxi Thiel, he got on the score sheet with a really nice finish as well. Play definitely should have been stopped, though, after Brian Belland went down with a head injury. I don't know why the referee decided to let play go on, but he did, and Heidenheim took advantage. But that seemed to spur on Armenia. Julian Bona with a really nice volley at the back post, really poor marking at the same time from Heidenheim. But then, just as it looked like Heidenheim had it won, both sides had plenty of chances after that and before as well. But Andreas Vogelsammer got onto the end of Konstantin Kirschbaumer's through ball, slid it into the bottom corner, and his 10th goal of the season. And we even got to see Jeff Sabina run down the touchline and start celebrating in front of the fans, which was very nice to see. Jeff Le Chef. But I think a draw was probably a fair result come the end of the day. Both sides missed chances, both sides forced either keeper into some good saves, and it was a great game from start to finish, really. Now we will move on to the important part of the weekend, which was Bochum's game, and also your questions. And it was a great night if you were a VfL Bochum fan, as a long-awaited win finally arrived against Ingolstadt. It was an absolutely superb performance. Apart from a couple of early scares, I think Ingolstadt were very, very limited to what they were able to do, and they found it really, really hard to get away through. Of course, they did have that penalty with Stefan Kutschka. He missed. It was a great save from Manuel Riemann, guessed the right way. And then, not long later, Kevin Stöger's corner whipped in, caught Örjan Nyland off guard. And Robert Tisha appeared at the back post to head home. And in true fashion of my tweets, after slagging off Manuel Riemann and Robert Tisha, they saved a penalty and scored the goal. So maybe that's something I will employ from now on, because we need wins. Ingolstadt, though, are finding it very, very tough at the moment. Goal scoring is the major issue, and I think Alex Howell was absolutely spot on when he says that the midfield is very, very workmanlike, and that puts an awful lot of pressure on Sonny Kittel to perform, and Thomas Pedel as well. I think, you know, there's no real player. You can argue that Morales is, you know, a box-to-box midfielder, but there's no real creative force. You have three very similar midfielders that started last night anyway, and Christiansen and Tuesch alongside Morales. And I think, there's no creative outlet through the middle, and I think that's where Ingolstadt and Stefan Leitl have really struggled in recent weeks. Bochum, it was a good performance, don't get me wrong, but there was definitely more there for the taking. Robbie Kroos was excellent. I think he could have had a couple more assists, and Lucas Hintersea just can't seem to find the back of the net when it came to him on Monday evening, which is a shame, really, because he got himself in the right places and just failed to take the chances at the end of the day, which I think is a shame for someone who gets criticised quite a bit. But, he gives his all for the team, and you can't really say much more about that, really. I think in terms of a team performance, and especially defensively, Bochum have really improved. And despite my concerns about Robin Dutt, they've only conceded a handful of goals and two clean sheets in the last two games. Goal scoring is still a problem, but signs are positive at the minute, even though the table would read otherwise. And we're only 10 points off Kiel in third, so the wishful thinker and the optimist in me hopes that maybe something magical might happen towards the end of the season, although I very much doubt it. Now for my team of the week, in case you haven't heard yet, the kicker team of the week will come out on Thursday's edition of the magazine. Unfortunately, because we're back to having Monday night games, we have to wait again, which is a little bit annoying, but I digress. My team of the week is Ruimann, Karl, Hoffmann, Vitek, Osami, Drexler, Hochscheid, Narai, Skripski, Plata, and Borello. I think it's hard to say anything against those players. I thought they were all very, very good this week. Marcus Karl maybe could have been swapped out for one of the Darmstadt defenders. I thought Aitak Sulu had a very good game, but I think that's a toss of a coin. And I thought Karl did quite well to marshal Knipping to the end of the game after his mistake. So now we move on to the fun part, which is all of your questions. I think we've got 15 this week, which is very, very impressive. So thank you all for getting busy and sending them in. Don't forget, I think if you do download the Anchor app, go on to my podcast. You can send in questions orally. You can have your voice heard on the podcast, and if you want to get involved, go for it. I would be more than happy to tell it you have a bit of a conversation with me, and I'm going to try and, once I have time, once my dissertation's over, I'm going to try and get you guys involved more, and hopefully call a few of you up and make it a lot more interactive than it is already. But for now, I think the questions are a good way to get things sorted. So we will start off with Michael's question, and that is, should St. Pauli have loaned out Marvin Ducksz again? I don't think so, but equally, I think when they brought in Sami Allegri and as his bulldoze after the season he had had, I think, that was then pretty well covered. And Jan-Marc Schneider, of course, had been doing decently in the Regionalliga for the under-23. So I think from that point of view, they had every reason to loan him out, and it was sort of a risk-free option. But of course, we've seen St. Pauli have really, really struggled in terms of goals from their forwards this season, and that's probably cost them their position in the table, especially with some of the miraculous misses that Bodoz and Allegri have managed to come up with. But I don't think it was a bad thing to loan Ducksz out, especially after Kiel got promoted. It gives him a chance to see, how he would fare at this level. And I think if he does go back, and I hope he does go back and stay at St. Pauli, then they'll be right up at the right end of the table next year, because Ducksz has been very, very good, and he, of course, showed them firsthand what he could do just last weekend. Arnie asks, why was Jens Keller sacked? Can Andre Hofschneider take Union to the Bundesliga? Jens Keller was sacked for, well, I'm not really sure anyone knows. I think, it was a difficult situation, and there's been stories and different rumours come out. I think I saw in one of the news articles today that people have tried to get Jens Keller on TV shows to explain things three or four different times, and he's cancelled. So it's very much up in the air at the moment. I think the important part of your question there is to focus on Ander Hofschneider. I don't think he can take Union to the Bundesliga. He just doesn't instill that much confidence in me. I think compared to Jens Keller, I don't think he's quite there tactically. And, in terms of motivation, he wouldn't really get me going, especially when it comes to seeing him on the sidelines. And I think when you're in the position that Union are, without Sebastian Polter, without Michael Pantz, and Toni Leistner's going to leave the club at the end of the season, Steven Skripsky, who knows where his future lies? I think you need a motivator and that person that will get the team going. And I don't think Hofschneider is, there with Keller tactically or there with some other managers in terms of motivation. And I think, come the end of the season, we might see perhaps another change of coach. St. Pauli Toronto Supporters Club says the relegation candidates from the Bundesliga, who do you think you are? Who do you think they are? Not who do I think I am? Hopefully, I don't get relegated from the Bundesliga. And how will they do next season? I think, the table's going to stay the way it is. I think Mainz are going to be in the playoff. I think they'll win the playoff. I think, regardless of who ends up in the playoff, they're probably going to win it. I just don't think Kiel, who I do now think will finish third, are quite strong enough to get past Mainz over two legs. Of course, they did have the cup game earlier on in the season. And yeah, I just don't think that the system's fair for Zweite Bundesliga sides. I think it should either be a one-off game if we are having to have a playoff between the two leagues, or Zweite Bundesliga sides play off against each other and one of those teams go up, because it's ridiculous, really, that Bundesliga sides get another chance to save themselves when they haven't deserved it. I also think we're going to see Hamburg and Köln come down. I think Köln with Torada, they're going to go straight back up. Hamburg, I don't think anyone knows what's going to happen there. I think we're going to see an awful lot of change in that squad if and when they do come down. And it's going to be interesting to see how they cope with a first ever season inside a Bundesliga. If that's not a reason to tune in, then what is? Exenda, he asks, why does Funkel insist on playing Fink and Bodzek, both slow midfielders, at the same time? I don't really have a problem with either player. My issue would be, I think Bodzek's a better centre back than he is in midfield. I think midfield doesn't really suit him at the moment. I think mainly because of his pace. I think he's a very, very good backup option in, the centre back role. But in terms of midfield, I think Fortuna have better options and can probably do better at the moment. I think Sobotka and Neuhaus as a pairing are very, very good. And now the task will be to replace Neuhaus. I'm not quite sure how they're going to do that. Fink, I think, is fine so long as he doesn't play out wide. It's something that frustrated me when Funkel first took over, but thank goodness he sorted it this year. And he looked really, really good in the middle. He's creating chances. He's getting chances of his own, and I think he's making a difference in there. I think that leadership in the middle is very, very important. Kevin asks, what are your thoughts on Sulaiman Abdullahi? I think Abdullahi's great. I thought really, really highly of him when he was in pre-season last season, and then unfortunately got struck down with a really, really unfortunate injury. Never really recovered from that. But this year, the last couple of games, we've really seen what he can do. He's powerful, he's pacey, he can finish despite Andre Weiss coming up with a couple of really good saves to deny him. At the weekend, but I think there's only going to be good things to come from him. And I think, towards the end of this season and start of next season, I think we're really going to see the player that that he can be now that he's fully bedded in. Mikael asks, Nürnberg, do they have an attacking issue? No goals in the last two games, very few chances. I think they do. I think your question mentioned something about Mikael Ishak. Unfortunately, I don't have it in front of me. I think not having Ishak to play off of is the main concern at the moment. And, Zrelak didn't fill me full of confidence that he could be that hold-up player, that hold-up forward that, brings everything together in attack. And I think that's where they went wrong at the weekend. And I think, Palacios Martinez is going to have to come up with an awful lot come the end of the season to really fill in for Ishak. But hopefully, maybe not too long after the international break, we'll see Ishak back and amongst the goals. not least because I have him and Sebastian Polter as my strikers in my kicker fantasy team, so thank you both for getting injured. Of course, we wish them well. Thomas asks, have Sangpauli improved under Kocsinski? I think they have. I think they're better defensively than they were under Olaf Janssen anyway. Attacking, it's still not really improved that much, but I do think they look more dangerous. And, you know, the front two seems to be working at the moment. St. Pauli's a tough one. I think they're so close to getting to that next level, but they're not quite there. And with the contracts running out in the summer, like Sobotka and Sobiech, I think it's going to be either a summer of change or a summer of continuity. And I think, you know, I hope the likes of Sobiech and Sobotka stay, and or Sobota stay, and we see St. Pauli push on and challenge for promotion next year. Sean, what issues do Kaiserslautern have? Can they be fixed? And that's quite a similar question to Angie as well, who asked what would happen to Kaiserslautern if they go down. Would it be the death of a traditional club? I certainly hope not. I think Kaiserslautern are, you know, a huge, huge team. You know, historically, you go back, you look at the first German side that won the World Cup with Helmut Lahn, Fritz Walter, you know, Fritz Walter Weather. You know, Kaiserslautern are stuck in German football history. You know, the first side to be promoted and win the Bundesliga at the first time of asking. Thankfully, RB Leipzig didn't manage to one up them last year. I think Kaiserslautern, to lose them to Drittliga would be a massive loss for not only German football but also for the league. It would be a real, real shame, and I hope that, you know, with the financial issues, it's not so much of a problem. I think on the field and on the pitch at the moment, things are changing for the better. They play really, really good, exciting football at the moment. But my one concern is, has it been too little too late? You know, over the last six games, I think they're the most informed side in the league, which says all you need to know with what a change of manager has done and what playing Brandon Borrello has done. And yeah, I think as time goes on, I think we're going to see them keep improving this season anyway. But it's whether or not they strike it lucky with other teams' results. And, you know, for everyone apart from Awa to win around them this week, just sort of summed it up, really. Kyle, what are Union's issues this season? I think I talked about it a little bit with the Jens Keller and Andre Hofschneider question. I think that didn't help. Not playing Steven Skripsky obviously doesn't help anyone. The injuries have been a massive blow. The constant speculation over Toni Leistner, that's been a problem. Various reasons for why things haven't gone well. And I think, you know, it's all about continuity, and Union don't feel like Union at the moment. And I think that's the real issue. You know, when a club that is so in touch with the fans, not that they aren't in touch with the fans, but it just feels like they've lost a little bit of, you know, the magic that they had last season. And fingers crossed they can get that back sooner rather than later. And, you know, I don't think they're going to get promoted this season, but they're still only 6 points behind Kiel, and who knows what can happen between now and the end of the season. Luke says, do teams coming up have a better chance of staying in the league compared to before? This is in reference to the Zweite Bundesliga teams coming up to the Bundesliga. I think the last couple of years have maybe been a little bit skewed because we've seen, you know, very big teams come up. We've seen Hannover, Stuttgart, Leipzig aren't a big club, and Freiburg come up. And I think, you know, apart from Leipzig, all three of those are established and good German football clubs. And, you know, of course, Leipzig can pump whatever money in they want, and that solves many issues. I think the other three were, you know, set up to bounce straight back. I think that's going to be more difficult this season. I think Nuremberg are going to do a good job of trying to do that next year. But Fortuna, when they lose Florian Neuhaus, I think it's going to be really, really tough for them. But fingers crossed, it would be good to see. And it's just a shame that Fortuna can't play at Köln next year if the table stays how it is at the moment, and we're going to miss out on that derby once again, unfortunately. Lumpy asks, who is the worst player in the league? Do you know what? I'm really not sure who it is. I will get back to you next week and think about that when I have a little bit more time. It is a tough one. There's a few candidates in my head, but I'll leave that in suspense until next week. Danny asks, would a statue for Steiniger and Nalai be better when built with gold or simple metal? Personally, I think it should be a floral display, and it should be made out of shamrocks. I think that's the way to go with that one. I think that would be quite nice, and I'm sure Danny would quite happily leave it in the middle of Nuremberg for all to see. Exander again asks, will Bundesliga teams have an easy ride in the playoff? Unfortunately, I answered that one not really thinking. And yes, I do think that be it Mainz, be it Wolfsburg, be it Bremen, be it Freiburg, any of those teams, I think they're going to be safe no matter who they play, unless Kiel or whoever ends up in the playoff turns on the style somehow and manages to beat them over two legs. But as I say, it's not a fair system. Bundesliga side shouldn't get another chance to keep themselves up. But there we are. And the final question of the day, the Beats will get that one. He has three questions. Do Bochum take a big away support? They did until the club decided to go in favour of Ausgliederung. And since then, things have been a little bit complicated, as if you follow my timeline, I'm sure you will know. Will HSV and Köln dilute your Zweite Bundesliga vibe? Not at all. It's going to be great to have two big clubs back in the division. Well, for HSV, they're not coming back. It'll be the first time, and I'm really excited to see what that will bring. I think it's going to bring a lot more people to the league. It's a shame for HSV and the Bundesliga, obviously, but I do think, and anyone could recognise that this has been coming. And will Lok Leipzig or Chemie Leipzig ever get to the Zweite Bundesliga? I'm not quite sure. I think it's going to be a long drawn out process, especially with how promotion from the Regionalliga works. But credit to both of them, they've got themselves into Regionalliga, and hopefully, for their sake, they can continue making positive strides and establish themselves higher up the German football pyramid. So that is it for another week. It's been very conversational again. So I thank you all for your questions, your comments, and thank you all for listening. Over 250 listens on the first episode is very, very impressive to me anyway, and I think that number is only hopefully only going to grow as we move on, because with your support, I'm always going to back Zweite Bundesliga, and I'm always going to do my best to try and get some form of English language service established, be it with the German Football League or whatever. But as a group of fans, we deserve more, and I'm determined. That is my war cry to make it work. So hopefully you enjoy this one as much as you did the last one, and I will speak to you next week. Cheers.